Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Sunday, August 22nd. Alrighty, and to start off our news, we're going to Australia, and this one's from the Daily Wire with a title of Hundreds Arrested, Fined in Australia Amid Nationwide Protest Against Lockdowns. So, the article starts, Police arrested more than 250 people Saturday as protests swept Australia in response to renewed lockdown orders amid rising cases of COVID-19. Anti-lockdown protesters swarmed the streets of Melbourne and Sydney, which led to the hospitalization of 7 police officers, according to Reuters. Quote, mounted police used pepper spray in Melbourne to break up crowds of more than 4,000 surging toward police lines, while smaller groups of protesters were prevented from congregating in Sydney by a large contingent of riot police, end quote. Reuters reported. In Melbourne, 218 people were reportedly arrested, 236 were fined, and 3 were placed in custody for allegedly assaulting police. In Sydney, 47 were charged with violating public health orders or resisting arrest, and police issued more than 260 fines. So I'm not going to keep going in this one. This one was just more of a quick thing. So Australia is having a lot of these issues right now because of the lockdowns, the very, very, very strict lockdowns that Australia has been having. New Zealand did a similar thing. They had one COVID case and then they shut down the entirety of the country. And so a lot of people are also doing similar things against that. But the biggest thing is this fight against the exceedingly strict lockdowns that basically prevent people from having any resemblance of an ordinary life. So there is that one out of Australia. We're now going to move over to Afghanistan. I didn't get an article from Fox News, so we're going to have a couple extra ones from Daily Wire. I'm not counting the Australian ones since that was just a quick overview, but we're going to then have 2 Daily Wire articles, just 1 CNN, 1 CBS, 1 The Blaze to replace Fox News. Okay, here we go. Daily Wire. Title, U.S. resumes flights out of Afghanistan after airport security breach. Subtitle, 7 were confirmed dead amid the chaos at Kabul Airport. So the United States will resume flights out of Afghanistan on Monday evening after flights were suspended earlier in the day and earlier because of a security breach at Kabul's international airport. John Kirby, the Pentagon's chief spokesman, said Monday that flights had been halted due to a security breach on the civilian side of the airport. Video on the ground at Hamad Karzai International Airport showed dozens of panicked Afghans running alongside a U.S. Air Force jet as it took off. Later, people could be seen in the distance falling from the plane after it had already taken off. At least 7 were confirmed dead amid the chaos at the airport. A preliminary report indicated that 1 U.S. soldier had also been injured, according to Kirby. At a Pentagon news conference on Monday afternoon, Director of Defense Intelligence... Director for Defense Intelligence Gary Reid said the military expects to speed up the evacuations of the Afghan refugees. The State Department spokesperson Ned Price added at a separate briefing that the U.S. is, quote, of course prioritizing American citizens, end quote, for evacuation. He said that the State Department is requesting that U.S. citizens shelter in place and not travel to Kabul Airport. The U.S. moved its embassy operations to the airport over the weekend as the Taliban descended on Kabul. The Taliban took over the country's capital and the presidential palace in Kabul on Sunday with little to no resistance after the collapse of the Afghan government. Over the last several weeks, the terrorist group advanced across the country at a breakneck pace that appeared to stun U.S. officials. Many of the Afghanistan security forces that have been trained by the U.S. either had fled or blanched in the face of the Taliban's advances across the country. There were 7,000 troops handling the deteriorating situation in Afghanistan as the U.S. completes its withdrawal of all U.S. troops from the country, marking the end of America's 20-year war in Afghanistan. It's been highly criticized, this move by President Biden. But there's an update. So the flights had stopped a few days ago, and it was like, wait, what? So I guess maybe that was only on Maybe I think that was for everyone, but I guess because of the civilian side. But luckily, those are able to resume. I know that special forces from the UK and France are going through and helping people. The United States said they don't have the capabilities of doing that, which makes no sense. As America, you would think, has the better military. But that's why we're going to move over. And I saw this one, and I was like, I'm going to do this. Even though it's an extra one, I really wanted to do this one. Title, British Parliament unloads on Biden. Quote, Biden may have condemned the world to Chinese domination in the future. End quote. Numerous members of the British Parliament slammed President Joe Biden this week in response to the catastrophe the president created in Afghanistan with his disastrous pullout and handling of the situation. The remarks came on Wednesday after members in the House of Lords, which is one of the two chambers in the British Parliament. Members blamed Biden for the situation and shamed him for trying to cast blame on others, including the Afghan military. Many of the members said that America's image was seriously damaged around the world and the West could suffer greatly in the years to come because nations may no longer trust the West to keep its promises. The following are just some of the things that members said about members of the British Parliament said about Biden. Lord Dannett. I'm not going to be able to read all these because they're super long. But let's see here. He basically just says that the manner and timing of the Afghan collapse is a direct result of President Biden's decision to withdraw all of the U.S. forces. He basically has undermined the patient and painstaking work of the last 5, 10, 15 years to build up governance in Afghanistan, develop its economy, transform its civil society, and build up its security forces. The people had a glimpse of a better life, but that has been torn away. With the U.S. withdrawing, NATO allies had no choice but to leave as well, denying the Afghan National Army the technical and training support that it needed and moral support of friends who encouraged them to take the fight to the Taliban. Then you have Lord Howard of Lympne. The responsibility for the withdrawal rests on President Biden, and he said many of us have been impressed with the president's performance. But this is, his withdrawal from Afghanistan is and always will be seen in history as a catastrophic mistake, which may have well led to, which may well define his presidency. Now, there's a few more. I'm not going to read them. There's actually a few. There's like 10 more, gee. But that's just a glimpse of what, around the world, how people are reacting, because it's not like everything's just America, which people forget. So there is that. We're now going to hop forward to CNN. There is how three school districts are defying state restrictions on mask mandates. Okay, so that was the title, obviously. The debate over masks in schools has reared its head once again with the new academic year, and a handful of states have taken steps to restrict local officials' ability to implement their own masking requirements, either through the government's, the governor's office, or state legislatures. So basically, a Texas school district changed its dress code. It includes masks in its dress code. Let's see here. Where does it, like... Basically, they by putting it into the dress code, it somehow goes around them requiring masks. Like, it's more so like, you need to wear these types of clothing. One of those being a face mask is basically what it is. It talks then a lot about... like other things outside of just the school board, like how the Supreme Court. So we're going to skip those since that's like, I'm sure that we've talked about those things many times before. But then there's Oklahoma City Public Schools, and they bypassed it by Superintendent Sean McDaniel announced a mask requirement this month in a letter to families. He says that the law meant to prohibit such a mandate only prevented the school board from making that decision. He basically says since it only talks about a school board doing that, it means that it does not prohibit a superintendent to do that, but you can still request an exemption for medical, religious, or personal reasons. And only 94 out of 30,000 opted out. So there's that school board. Then you have the Arizona District, Phoenix Union High School District in Arizona has at least bought its mask requirements sometime. The lawsuit. They had a lawsuit basically, and it argued that the district cannot implement a mask mandate under HB 2898, which was signed into law in late June and included language prohibiting local jurisdictions from making new mask requirements. But it hadn't gone into effect, so they basically took advantage of that and is going to, I guess, until then, require masks and try to find a way around it. But that's kind of just a few of them finding ways, you know, these very complicated laws and such, or rules, you know, they find the tiny in between the line text that they're able to take advantage of. So that's what they've been doing. CBS. Henry lashes Northeast as millions brace for impact. This has been causing a lot of sports games to be paused or halted, stuff like that. Henry weakened slightly to a tropical storm early Sunday, but was still expected to crash into a long stretch of northeastern coastline as millions on New York's Long Island and in southern New England braced for flooding, toppled trees, and extended power outages. The storm has 60-mile-per-hour winds, and it was 30 miles east, southeast of Montauk, New York. The first thunderstorms, bringing what could be half a foot of rain, arrived late Saturday, and flash flooding began in some areas overnight. Bands of heavy rain overwhelmed storm drains, and drivers plowed through foot-deep water in a few spots in New York City, Newark, and Hoboken, New Jersey. So that's it in it, but there you go. For Hurricane Henry, and last, the blaze. Colorado School Board District bans critical race theory after black father delivers rousing speech. We are not victim, quote, "We are not victims of America," end quote. A Colorado black father delivered a stirring speech denouncing critical race theory during a school board meeting last week, which garnered a standing ovation from other parents. After the rousing monologue, the board members voted to ban critical race theory in the school district. Several concerned parents gave their testimony about implementing critical race theory in classrooms, but Derek Wilburn stole the show. Wilburn, who is a descendant of slaves, explained how installing critical race theory in a classroom does not combat racism, but fans, quote, "the flames of what little embers are left," end quote. Quote, "I am a direct descendant of the North American slave trade. Both my parents are black. All four of my grandparents are black. All eight of my great-grandparents and all 16 of my great-greats. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not impressed, and I'm not a victim." End quote. Wilburn, who is the founder and executive director of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, is the one who said all of this. And he added that his three children, quote, "are not oppressed either, though they are victims," end quote. Quote, "I taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision making. That is all," end quote. I'm just going to read this, continue on with this quote. Quote, "Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. Sadly, very sadly, one of these institutions is the American education system." He also says, "We are not victims of America. We are not victims of unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether." Putting critical race theory in classrooms is not combating racism. It's fanning the flames of what little embers are left. I encourage you to support this resolution. Let racism die the death it deserves you. So there is that. That's pretty good. That's where we're seeing a lot of people with critical race theory are white, or like these racism, like who say like the Redskins football team is racist, are white. And it's like, what? Because Native Americans literally like designed parts of that team, so it's just kind of like they didn't think it was racist, but the white people do. The white people are saying what's racist and what isn't, and that's like what is happening. But there is that. That concludes our news for today. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday, a wonderful culmination of your weekend. Thank you so much for listening.